Mike Yates is here. He's the president of Teamsters Local 665. Good to have you back, Mike.
Good morning, Pat. Long time no see.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much for your participation in those events.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun and a lot of money raised. Happy about that. And Mike really became a partner of KSRO's during and after the firestorm because of what he was able to accomplish for so many after the fires. And Mike, tell us where you were and how you found out initially about the fires.
I was actually staying in Monterey on business. So I got the call from one of my guys about 3:30 in the morning asking what I was doing with my family. And I'm coming out of a sleep and I'm like, what do you mean, what am I doing with my family?
Yeah.
And he said, you know what's going on? I go, what are you talking about?
You're in Monterey, right?
Yeah, I'm in Monterey.
Yeah.
He said, well, Santa Rosa's on fire. So I go, I'll call you back. I hang up, go right to the news, grab my phone, start looking at everything I can. And sure enough, I see that there's a fire in Santa Rosa. By the time I got downstairs, in Monterey, they were telling us that the Kaiser was on fire. So I'm like, I'm going home. So got in the car, tried calling my wife immediately.
Who was here in Sonoma County.
And no answer. No answer. So I must have called her like 30 times.
Yeah, that's frustrating, huh?
And then I get a call from my stepdaughter, who's... her home wasn't destroyed or anything, but they were evacuated during the initial rush. So her three kids and her husband said they were on the way to our house.
Sure.
And said they had been for a half hour and they were less than halfway because everything was jammed up.
Yeah.
Finally, my wife calls me. I say, the kids are all coming over. She's like, what's going on? I go, open the balcony door, go look. And she could see like the glow in the background and everything else.
Yeah.
And she's like, where are you? I said, I'm already on my way home. I'll be there as quick as I can. So I probably broke one or two laws driving, getting back.
Yeah, that happened that night for sure.
And by the time I hit San Jose, you could actually smell smoke. And was on the phone the whole time. And funny thing is, right around Milpitas, I thought KSRO. And of course, I can't get it to Milpitas. So I pulled over. Started streaming you guys, and sure enough, guess what I heard on the radio? There's Pat Kerrigan on the radio.
Yeah, we all were. We all were, and thank God we were able to be. So you get back to Sonoma County, make sure your family's okay, obviously.
First thing, yes.
And then you went right to work, and this is a news story for me, because I really don't know how you began to accumulate things for so many of the evacuees.
Kind of by accident. So what initially happened is we had partnered with Les Schwab during the Valley Fire. And they had collected some things. There was nowhere to put them. Actually, the radio station also was doing something for the Valley Fire.
Yes.
And you guys ran out of room too. So I opened up the hall and let people drop stuff off there.
Yeah, the Teamsters Hall, by the way, is sort of across the street and down the road from KSRO Studios. So
a little convenient.
Yeah, very convenient. Okay.
So
you had some experience.
So we had a little experience. So almost immediately, I'm talking to Jesse, the lead manager for Les Schwab. You know, we're probably going to be doing this again. Are you ready? And he's like, yeah, we'll do whatever. And sure enough, they opened up their stores. And I actually came on the radio here and talked about Les Schwab.
Yes.
They were accepting donations. And then it morphed into, we had one trailer to two to three to 10 to 17 trailers.
Full of donations.
Full of donations.
Wow.
With nowhere to take them. So then we started sorting everything, you know, because it didn't make sense to have it all.
In a big pile.
Yep.
Yeah.
So now we have a water trailer. We have a trailer full of diapers, everything else. And now we go find out, where can we take this stuff to? And everybody's inundated.
Yeah.
So we made the decision to open up the whole property.
Yeah.
And let people that need stuff come in. And then I came on the radio here with you again, and we asked for volunteers. And because of KSRO, you know, there was, my staff up here is about six people. So a little bit much. All of a sudden we had 75 people show up to help.
Wow. See, that's the kind, those are the kinds of moments that people began. This whole incredibly amazing volunteerism. Yeah.
And then the hard part was, as weeks went on, different places started closing down. The Red Cross over at the fairgrounds closed, and other places started closing. and they were dropping off their excess stuff over to us. So we had more stuff. And that just kept going and going and going. And actually, we had two trailers as of yesterday. It's consolidated down to one that we still have. And we still have about 35 families.
A year later.
A year later. There's about 35 families we still help. And we still have, this is crazy, two of the original volunteers from that first day.
Wow.
Are still coming in at least 3 days a week.
That's pretty amazing to me. And the fact that you're still helping families. And I know this to be true, that at some point, I'm not sure when that point was, a few months in, I think, you decided, and based on what was happening in our community, that that families would be better served to be helped on a one-to-one basis. So you sat down with a lot of these families and said, okay, here we are, so far removed from the fires. What are your needs now? Is that accurate?
Yeah. So when we first opened up, we were open to everybody. So if anybody needed something, they basically would come by. Well, quickly we found out that a lot of people that took stuff weren't fire victims. But everything was so fresh and everything else, we weren't going to turn anybody away. As time progressed, we got very specific. We started having an intake process. By that time, people had their FEMA numbers. So
right.
we would, you know, validate that they had indeed lost, and then we'd help them get the items that they needed specifically, not just this general shotgun approach, but more of a laser focus to try to help the people.
And what I found really amazing about the whole thing that you did, Mike, is that, you know, you got really specific about the donations you asked for people. And I know that in many cases, construction workers had lost their tools to work, you know, or had no access to them, or they were burned in the fires. And you somehow came up with a truckload of tools for those workers to be able to replace their own. I thought that's just one example.
Well, the crazy thing is, and you're correct, we asked for very specific things, and people just did it. All of a sudden, we'd have people showing up with, you know,
and we're talking brand new stuff here too.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. You know, we had days where we had talked about on the air with you that there was a need for shoes, because the need changed from week to week to
yes,
week.
Yes, it sure did.
As the people came in, because what the immediate need was, I mean, I think I still have like 9 cases of toothbrushes because everybody wanted to donate a toothbrush.
Well, Halloween's coming; those might come in handy after that.
But we had a company from San Francisco drove up with 3 vans full of brand new shoes. And,
wow.
And not cheap. I mean, they spent some serious money. And then we put that stuff into a room in the hall. And then when the fire victims that we validated had actually lost stuff, we took them in there and let them take what they need.
That's pretty amazing.
And
what a sight that must have been.
Yeah, some of those stories
were
brutal.
What was it like for you personally to witness, you know, the fruits of your labors?
Well, it wasn't my labors. It was all the people that volunteered and all the people that work with me. I get credit for some of this stuff, but I'm just the one that helped organize it to get it started. They did all the work. And it was pretty amazing just seeing how the community came together and meeting people. And I still, when I was at your event on Sunday and we had our booth up, I had about 10 people come by that were fire victims that had come through the Teamster Hall, and a couple of them were crying because they hadn't seen us since then.
Yeah, of course. And it's still, especially right now, I think it's really raw for a lot of us, you know, approaching the anniversary. But I find that so many people have been personally changed, not just those that lost their homes in the fires, but those of us who, you know, had some part in trying to make things better for, you know, our fellow humans along the way. How has your life changed over the course of the last year?
My focus isn't what it was a year ago. We focus a lot more on the community and trying to help other people, even in everything we do. And it's paid, it's called Pay It Forward, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's worked out where we've actually had one of our best years at the same time that we're doing all this work we're not supposed to be doing. It's been incredible. And, you know,
it all feeds each other and itself and all of that, doesn't it? Yeah.
And people don't really understand that aren't from this community. what everybody went through and how everybody pulled together and stuck together. It's just, there's a bond here now that is just amazing.
And I think you would agree with me, Mike, that it's almost more important than ever that that bond remains strong, because we are heading into a different kind of recovery, a different part moving forward. And yes, we've seen and we've been, you know, all elated to see construction beginning and walls going up and roof trusses coming in, things like that. But the percentage of how many homes are being rebuilt versus how many lost, you know, it's very, very small.
Well, that's why it's so important what you're doing with the Resiliency Fund to bring them forward, because that's an organization that's not looking at 2 months, 6 months.
They're looking
at the years to follow, you know, right in front of us.
And that's why somebody like you at the Teamsters, you know, thought, okay, what can I do to help in an immediate sense, and did. And the community thanks you, by the way. And but now a year later, here you are, you're still engaged and involved in that process of making those people's lives better and realizing, it sounds like, Mike, that this is a lifelong venture for you now. It's ingrained, isn't it?
There's no going back to who we were before, and I wouldn't want to anyway. I like what we do now. I like being involved more in the community. I like helping people. There's a little bit of reward in there, just how you feel.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And, you know, and getting to meet all the people from your events, especially on Monday, and everybody kind of standing on the deck kind of reflecting the year and talking to Tony and Rob and some of the other people, and you're like, you know, everybody's kind of going through something a little different.
Yes.
But we're all thinking about what's happened over the last 12 months.
Yeah, and I think, and one of the reasons why we keep having these conversations with people who've really made a difference in our lives over the course of the last year is to, you know, sort of take a look behind the scenes and talk about what people went through even as such good works were being done, and how, you know, that this incredibly large band of good people is still working at it and still moving forward. We're going to need that. I'll tell you one other thing about the Teamsters, too, is that there was a time we were lucky here at the KSRO studios that the fires didn't touch us. A couple of times we wondered about that. And obviously, the Santa Rosa Fire Department had some other things to do that night. But Mike and his merry band of Teamsters said, not to worry. We've got your back. We've got this huge water truck, and we're ready in case you need it. So thanks for that too. That was comforting.
Well, and that same day when the owner of your company, we were on the roof together, clearing off your roof, getting when they had the backburn going on, and it was amazing. And thank you, Pat, for everything, because you're the one. I would not have been able to do what I did without you.
Right back at you, Mike Yates from Teamsters 665. This is KSRO.